Once in Athens, he carries out the purification of the sanctuary at Eleusis. And that is, it's very difficult for us to appreciate the importance of that particular cult of Demeter and Kore. It was respected far beyond the limits of Athens. Eleusis, which is some 20 to 25 miles west of Athens, is a separate sanctuary. It's attached to the Athenian state, but it's not really part of the Athenian state. It was originally a township. And these rites were very important fertility rites. The two goddesses were worshipped throughout the Greek world, particularly in Sicily and the Peloponnesus. And Alcibiades did an absolutely bold-faced move by having the procession march from Athens along the sacred way to Eleusis, and Alcibiades mounted guard. Since 414 BC, that procession along the sacred way had not been used. The Athenians had performed the rites by going by sea, because the Peloponnesians were in the vicinity, they were located at Decelea, and that's just one of the examples of how much that Spartan blockade interrupted normal life in Athens. King Agis was probably shocked that Alcibiades even did this. The Peloponnesians dare not attack. It would be an impious action. And Alcibiades was the darling of the Athenian assembly, and any thought of sacrilege charges were now gone. Few Athenian political figures had mounted such a political recovery. The only one who comes close is the tyrant Pisistratus, but Alcibiades had before him a long record of Athenian political figures who had fallen out of favor with the demos and had ended their careers in exile or ostracism, and that was certainly not in the cards for Alcibiades. At the same time, the Athenians conducted impressive building programs on the Acropolis. Between 410 and probably 406 BC, many of the repairs to the Parthenon, the construction of the Erechtheum, expansions of some of the lesser sanctuaries, as well as building programs across the lesser sanctuaries of Attica, were all conducted by the Athenian democracy in the midst of this war. And those were not only pious actions to court the favor of the gods, they were also a dramatic and audacious demonstration that Athens had recovered and had the resources to continue those building programs that had begun with Pericles. And it must have stunned the Spartans that the Athenians had been able to come back so far from 413 BC. So in the elections of 407 BC, Alcibiades was enthusiastically returned as general for the fifth time. And as I mentioned, in the Greek calendar, it's a lunar calendar, and that always requires that a month be intercalated, that is added every 3 years to make the calendar correspond to the solar seasonal calendar. And Greek calendars ran from midsummer to midsummer. So in early 407 BC, the elections were held and Alcibiades was returned as general for the coming year. That is the Greek year that would start in 407 and run to 406. Second half of 407, the first half of 406. Surely Alcibiades must have felt he was at the height of his power. He requested from the assembly an enormous fleet. It was voted. And he promised great events, that he would sail and now put down the Ionian rebellions. The Hellespont was secure. It was now time to deal with the rebels at Miletus and Chios. And by the end of the year, the thought was all of the Athenian Empire would be back in our hands, and then we could issue the negotiations to Sparta. And when Alcibiades set sail with all of this enthusiasm and optimism on the part of the Athenians, little did he know that he now sailed against two new opponents who would thwart his ambitions, and these two men would be the architects of Spartan victory. And they were an unlikely pair, the new navarch from Sparta, a man named Lysander, and a prince from Susa, the younger son of King Darius II, known as Cyrus the Younger. And Cyrus and Lysander together would do in Alcibiades' reputation and then do in Athens next.